Whether you agreed or disagreed with the decision of the grand jury in St. Louis County, Missouri 2 weeks ago not to indict police officer Darren Wilson in the shooting death of teenager Michael Brown, the case undoubtedly raised questions for you about the grand jury process. Grand juries originated in the English legal system at a time when private citizens could bring criminal charges against other citizens. They are intended to act as a check on overzealous prosecutions. The use of grand juries in federal cases in the U.S. is mandated by the Fifth Amendment, but the Supreme Court has not extended that requirement to the states. Illinois and about half of the 50 states use grand juries. Grand juries do not decide the guilt or innocence of a defendant. The ultimate mission of the grand jury is to determine whether sufficient probable cause exists to subject the defendant to a trial. This is a much lower standard than trial juries must reach to convict. To decide not to issue an indictment, the grand jury has to essentially find that there is no plausible basis on which a defendant could be charged. Grand jurors are selected from the same pool of people as ordinary jurors. They do not have any specialized knowledge of the law and do not receive any training on how to conduct investigations or make their decisions. Grand jurors usually serve for several months in state courts and for 18 months or more in federal courts, although they generally meet less than once a week. All federal crimes punishable by more than 1 year in jail must be presented to a grand jury before a potential defendant can be charged. Generally, in state courts, prosecutors can decide whether to present potential felony charges to a grand jury or to charge defendants simply by filing a complaint. In our modern grand jury system, it is rare for a grand jury to fail to issue an indictment requested by a prosecutor. But surveys of newspaper accounts suggest that grand juries seldom issue indictments in cases where police officers have killed people in the line of duty, as was the case in Ferguson. The grand jury proceedings in the Michael Brown case differed in several ways from usual grand jury hearings. Many grand juries decide up to 40 cases a day, but the St. Louis County grand jury considering whether to indict Officer Wilson listened to 70 hours of testimony from 60 witnesses in just that case over a three-month period. The prosecutor presented all the evidence in the case, which he was not obligated to do. Prosecutors are not required to present exculpatory evidence in grand jury proceedings. Usually, prosecutors only present the evidence necessary to establish probable cause, which is frequently a selective and slanted account of the facts. Potential defendants do not have the right to testify before a grand jury, and rarely are they even called to testify. Even more rarely do they choose to waive their right to avoid self-incrimination and testify. The Michael Brown grand jury heard 4 hours of testimony from Officer Wilson, during which he had an opportunity to give his account of the events that led to the shooting. In addition, the St. Louis County prosecutors sought and obtained an order allowing him to release all the evidence that the grand jury examined, which is normally kept secret. These unusual circumstances caused some to question whether the prosecutor was actually seeking an indictment or just looking for political cover. Others have said that the even-handed presentation of evidence in this case should be the norm in all grand jury cases for all defendants, not just in cases where police officers are accused of brutality. It is certainly fair to question why Officer Wilson was treated differently in this case than most non-police defendants. But hopefully the attention paid to the grand jury proceedings and the shooting death of Michael Brown will also spark a broader debate over why we have grand juries and what we want their role to be in our criminal justice system. I'm Matt Andres.